Welcome back to Breakfast with Bob. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are at Challenge Penticton. We're based at the Hooded Merganser. This is the Canadian Multisport National Championships. And next year in 2017, we're going to have six ITU World Championship events over 10 days. Very, very exciting times. Our guest, Karen Thibodeau, one of our top pros. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Yeah,
thanks so much.
Being here.
Why the heck is this guy, Bob, wanting to have breakfast with me? Who is this loser?
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure, but...
I'm just another stalker on the internet. That's me.
That's right. No, I saw a pic, and I was like, I can have breakfast with this guy. He's handsome,
I love that. So Karen, swimming growing up.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you're swimming growing up, and you end up at Pitt?
Yes, University of Pittsburgh. I did, yeah.
And what was your specialty?
200 backstroke, 400 IM, actually.
Yeah. You know, 400 IM, that's one of the arguments I've had with a lot of folks. 400 IM or 200 fly.
It's a hard
toss-up. Brutal,
yeah.
Right?
But both make you a good for Ironman if you can handle those two events, yeah.
So then after college, you end up in Girona.
Yeah. There was quite a few years in there, but I did eventually end up in Girona. I went back. I was in Toronto for a while.
Yeah.
Went back and did another degree there, and then eventually up to Vancouver, and then, yes, Girona.
And your degrees are what?
I have a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology and a Bachelor of Science in Nursing.
Yeah. And your specialty is mental health?
Mental health and addictions, yeah.
And from what Sarah Gross was telling me, you guys will go swimming, and there's Karen bringing shoes for homeless folks and giving somebody a foot massage and then putting shoes and bringing their meds.
Yes, I do kind of, I have to multitask. I work out in the community, so I do a lot of street level stuff. And that involves anything from wound care for people to, giving people injections, antipsychotics, just trying to find people housing or find them, in the corner that they live and see how they're doing, how they're making out. So, it's an awesome job. It's dynamic. You don't ever know what a day is going to bring. And I think it's a good... when you're a pro athlete, it kind of gives
balance.
You a whole... It is. It's a really good balance.
This is a sort of a selfish lifestyle.
It is.
You're a bike run.
Well, you have a bad workout, and then you go and you go after, and you're working with people who don't even have homes, and you're like, okay, I can probably let that go.
So at this point, Jim lives on this corner.
Yeah.
And he needs this medication, and you go to that corner.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what it is. It's case management.
Yes.
So we sort of, and I work casually on five or six different teams throughout the city. So you just, and then as a casual, you just kind of come in and people tell you what needs to be done, and you go out and you get it done.
Wow. So while you're in Toronto, the triathlon was not part of your life at that
point. No, not at all. Yeah, I was... Toronto, I was done swimming. I got into some running, marathon running, but not seriously.
Just for fun.
Yeah. And then I moved out to Girona with my ex-boyfriend, who's a pro cyclist.
Yes.
And that's when I sort of got involved, learned about the world of cycling, got on a bike and...
Training with the Canadian national team?
I did. Like a lot of the women were out there and I would be like, oh, okay, we can, you can stay at my place or whatnot. If you just let me try to come out and stay with you on the rides, get dropped, go back, try a little harder, get dropped. And then eventually the cycling came along. Yeah.
Did you feel like, hey, maybe I'll go be a pro cyclist or...
Well, yeah. I hadn't even thought of triathlon.
Right.
And then there was a local triathlon. It was like the Catalonian National Championships.
In Spain.
In Spain, yeah. And I was like, wait, I swim, I bike, I run. Let's give it a go.
Hello, I got all three.
Yeah.
Well, why not put them all together?
And some of the Garmin guys, they put my bike together for me, and they're out cheering for me. And I ended up winning it. And then that sort of planted
the
seed.
So first race, it's like, okay, I don't know what the heck I'm doing, and you win.
Yeah, but I mean... And I did it on a road bike, but it was right where I lived. I knew the roads well. Yeah.
You've never done a triathlon before, and you go win your first one.
Well, true, but it's not like I was sitting on my ass.
You were training with the national team.
Yeah,
and you had a collegiate swimming background.
I did, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So when did, after that, talk through the process of going from that first triathlon, winning in Spain, and going, I think I'll become a pro and to make a living at this.
I mean, I was totally naive, I was used to competing sports at a high level, so I thought,
go
hard or go home. And so I went and stayed with a friend in Hawaii for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And I met a bunch of other people who are into triathlon.
Right.
They really were like, you got to apply for your pro card. So I did. And then I had tried a few halves. I got hit by a few cars in Hawaii and had a broken arm and then severed quads. So that kind of set things back. And then
a little bit, yeah.
And then I came to Ironman Canada in 2012. And that was my first full distance
yes.
race, and I came second. So I was like, okay, this maybe I have a future in this. Yeah.
Well, and then Ironman Canada 2012 and 2014 second, yep. And then here
a lot of seconds. Yes.
Yes. In when it was challenge, in how'd
challenge.
You do here?
Yeah, second.
Second.
Yes.
But you're obviously in a podium.
Yes.
You're having success. And at this point, what are the goals?
I just came off doing 3 Ironmans over in Europe. So I just got back.
What did you do?
I did Ironman France, Nice.
Yes.
And
beautiful.
Then it was so beautiful. Totally out of my skill set for cycling, but I was so glad I did it.
Yeah.
And then I did Klagenfurt in Austria.
Yes.
And then
which is beautiful.
Another beautiful one. And then Zurich.
Oh.
So
you pick all the good looking ones.
I know. I figure if I'm going over there, I might as well hit up all these.
And were those all fulls?
They were all fulls, yeah.
Over what period of time?
It was like I did the 3 in 9 weeks or something like that, yeah. But then I came
and
back.
And you couldn't find any homeless people in Europe to help out of
that? No, there isn't actually a lot. You know, it depends. Well, not in Zurich anyway. Yeah. So, and then I came back and I've just, you know, put in a few solid weeks of work. And I knew if I didn't come here, I would be suffering from some, like, fear of missing out on this. So, yeah, thought I'd come
and give
it a go.
Well, this isn't full. I mean,
I know,
it's only
that's
3
what I'm
quarters.
Hoping.
It's,
I'm
like
hoping.
It's like a cocktail weenie. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping
How'd you do in those 3 fulls?
Good. I was 7th in Nice,
yes.
And 6th in Austria, and 6th in Zurich. So,
you don't believe in anything out of top 6 or 7. That's
well,
good.
Well, yeah, no. You need a little prize money.
You need to be able to put a little something on the table to take care of the homeless
guys.
And
I was having so much fun, I wanted to stay in Europe. So, you know, yeah.
You need to make enough money to get to the next race.
That's right, yeah.
I like
so,
that.
So, yeah, it was a good time.
So, it must be a good balance for you. Being mm-hmm. able to do some work that you love and is really important.
Yeah.
And at the same time, when you're looking at the black line at the bottom of the pool, you go, this is selfish, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Or you're in the middle of your 3rd Ironman in 9 weeks, you're going, oh, this is stupid. Having that balance has to be important.
It
for
is.
You.
And I mean, I just feel so fortunate. You know, I have a job that I love that I don't have to, you know, I don't have to work 50, 60 hours a week, and and I also have a lot of flexibility in my schedule.
Sure.
They're really good with me if I want to take part of a shift in the afternoon because I want to train in the morning, and then and then you go to work and you're doing a job that makes you feel good and that's important, and, you know, I really believe in, you know, trying to, like, fight for the causes of, you know, homelessness and addictions, and so, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, feel pretty good about what I do.
You know what's interesting is years ago we were introduced to a homeless community in San Diego.
Yeah.
And what I realized from that is a lot of people are a lot closer to homelessness than they think.
Mm-hmm.
Guy lost his job, his wife left him, he's living in his car, he loses the home, loses the car. Next thing you know, here's a guy who was making good dollars, but they had mortgage and everything else. Next thing you know, he has no money, and he's living in his car, then he's living in the park.
Yeah, and people don't understand that. They kind of think it's a choice a lot of the time.
And they think it's like somebody who's been homeless all their life.
Right.
And they,
Yeah, and then you get to know these people and a lot of their histories, and a lot of them have just had a lot of, like, tough breaks. And
exactly.
And
it could have happened to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I can't say that if I didn't go through what you did, you know, I wouldn't be in the same place. And then you put a bit of, you know, if someone suffers from depression or anxiety or these types of things on top of that, it makes it that much more of a challenge to get yourself out of the situation you may be finding yourself in. So
share with me, if you can, a success story. Somebody who, you know, when you first started with them, you thought, oh my God, I don't know if we're going to have any success here. And now they're doing a lot better.
Well, I mean, the people I work with, you have to suffer from bipolar, schizophrenia, major depressive disorder. You know, you have to be homeless or have barriers to that.
Sure.
So we're not talking about sort of rags to riches stories.
Right.
You're
just small victories.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's when you get, probably my favorite story is there's this older woman that I worked with, and she was your sort of typical bag lady that you would see on the streets.
Yeah.
And people were having trouble connecting with her. She didn't really want to talk to us. And so I just went every morning, I'd go down and I knew where she hung out and I'd talk to her. And she was very verbally abusive. You know, she'd be like, oh,
get away from me.
Yeah, just, you know, every word and throw things at me. But I kept going down every day. And then I kept noticing she would show up right where she knew she'd find me. And so, I mean, it was probably a 3-month project here before I would finally, she'd let me buy her coffee. And then, you know, we got talking. And anyway, long story short, it was over a year. She finally agreed to accept an apartment. And I mean, and I think she was close to 70.
Wow.
And so she finally took an apartment. She trusted me enough to, you know, help her sort through her bags and kind of get things together. And then I left. When I left for Spain, I gave her a bunch of my furniture and stuff. So, and then the best story is I heard from her case manager after I left that she's like, "That Karen, she harassed me. She's making me store all her furniture." But like, she was totally happy, and she actually would write me cards when I came back that I'd get, like, thanking
me. Sending you a bill for storing your furniture.
Yeah,
I like that.
But she was thankful. I know that.
That's also from work. I used to work with emotionally disturbed children years ago.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, it's like you've got this bottomless pit, and no matter how much love you put in, you can never replace
right.
what they don't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that frustrating sometimes for you? Because you know what you're doing for these folks.
Right.
And they're, you know, the reality is they're not necessarily going to react the way that
you want them,
that you want them
exactly.
to react.
And you have to, you can't do the job because you want to be thanked at the end of the day. I mean, a lot of them have been their whole life, you know, they haven't been able to trust people
sure.
or form those bonds. So for you to come in and think that they're just going to do that with you is, you know, you're delusional thinking yourself.
Exactly.
So you just sort of have to try to, you know, make someone's day a little bit better than
right.
it was going to be and feel, you know, feel good about that. And you know, they have people, like, you get to know these people well. They have their ways of
yes.
letting you know that they appreciate what you're doing for them. Yeah.
So your goals this Sunday, obviously, you know, in Canada, you've been second. I'm assuming you'd like to step up a notch.
I would. I mean, of course, I always want that win. But, you know, I just, like I said, I sort of put this in the schedule last minute.
Yes.
So I really just, I mean, I don't know what's going to be there. I think I could have a great race. It could go sideways after the three Ironmans. Like, I'm sort of open for whatever.
Yeah. Did you take your bike even out of the bag in between these?
I finally still needs to be cleaned. Yeah.
I love that.
I've just been riding my road bike. But, yeah, I mean, I felt good in the Aquathon yesterday. So
how fun was that?
That was so fun. So that was a good sign. I was like, okay, this might... I'm ready, yeah.
I just did a 30-minute race. I think I'm ready for a three-quarter ITU long distance.
Hey,
it's not a problem.
I'll take every little victory I can get right now. So, yeah.
I love that.
No, I'm excited. I love this course. I love the crowds. And I'm just going to go out and give her and see what happens.
So as somebody who's been racing for a little while now,
mm-hmm.
do you look back at one race as the most important to you?
Yeah. I mean, Ironman Canada... in 2012 was definitely one of my, you know, probably one of the, but at the same time I couldn't appreciate it because I didn't really
understand the sport as much.
You know, I didn't know who people like you were and stuff.
just a stalker, just a stalker looking to buy breakfast for people.
Yeah. So, and where is breakfast anyway?
Yeah, I know. It's hello, McFly. We got nothing for you.
But yeah, and then probably in Whistler Ironman Canada,
2014,
because I sort of backed it up. Having understood what it was, you know, kind
you came
of
back
what
and
it was
got
about.
Another second.
Yeah. So, but to get a win in challenge, that would be pretty sweet. That might top it. So.
How important do you say? Because we've gone through some struggles, obviously, from Ironman transitioning to challenge. Now you got 6 world championships over 10 days here at really sort of the birthplace of triathlon in North America.
Yeah.
So, how important is that?
You mean?
Yeah, how important is that event? The fact that there's 6 world championships here next. It says,
yeah.
You qualified for the Aquathlon World Championship. You're on the team.
I'm like so excited.
You're going to be wearing the Canadian colors.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's awesome. We're having it such a great location.
Yes.
And they just get into these events here. So, and then, exactly, I mean, I know it's like an Aquathon, but that's kind of cool to represent your country. I mean,
Have you done that before?
No, not since I was a swimmer, 16 and 17.
So to be able to put on
I was kind of thinking that when I was racing yesterday. I was like, wait, I could be like Canadian national team.
I could be world champion.
Exactly. Maybe
Aquathon,
but
world
hey,
champion.
I probably should learn how to say the word before.
I think there's a lot of different pronunciations out there.
Yeah, but I mean, it highlights Canada and it's going to be a great
event
next
year.
Yeah.
Love it. Hey, well, best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for doing what you do. Because it's really, I always love athletes who give back. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's your profession, but it's more than your profession. It's your passion.
Yeah.
You're out there after a swim workout looking for somebody to give shoes to or to give their meds to.
Yeah.
That's a different breed of cat.
Well, I don't know. I enjoy it.
I love it. Well, you know what? I remember a friend telling me once to get back, you have to give back.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree.
Helps you with all your training and racing and makes it all important.
Yeah, and I mean, come on, this isn't going to last forever, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is the ultimate goal for you as a professional triathlete?
I'd like to win a race. I'd like to have that win.
Yeah.
Kona's always there in the background. I'm not totally, you know, so focused on that, but I mean, I would, yeah. I'd like to,
that's
I'd
the
like
stage.
To win a race.
Yeah. That's a big lights.
Exactly.
You're a big light type of gal.
I'd like to be more than like the beer mile champion at Kona or whatever. Mm. Oh, I was second this year.
Wow. Yeah. You're the beer mile second?
Yeah.
Second. So, of course you're second.
I know. This is why I just need to win something. That is my goal in life, to be a winner.
You know what? You were the very best interview
that
we have done at Breakfast with Bob. You are the champion. Karen Thibodeau has been our guest. This is Breakfast with Bob. We are at Challenge Penticton and the Hooded Merganser. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back. Mm-hmm.